Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, welcome to the show. Today is Friday, October 17th. Not a special day in any way, except that it's Friday.
It's Friday. Right? That's good enough.
There's nothing special about October 17th, so don't run to your calendars. Friday it is, and I'm excited. Tomorrow I'm going to a concert. I'm going to see the group Asia, and as I mentioned before, I was going to play some of the songs today, but I don't know if we'll have time.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's just like, I mean, you know, some people that did not grow up during that time cannot appreciate it, but it's one of the classic bands, you know. Mm-hmm. And if people are into rock and stuff, then they know Asia,
right?
You know? Unfortunately, their famous guitarist is not going to be on, but the main singer, like we were talking yesterday, the lead singer and the drummer are the same. So, you know, I think the keyboard is the same. So it should be pretty fun, you know.
Definitely. And with the guitar, I mean, everyone kind of...
sounds the same.
Yeah. It's not like a singer where it changes, the voice changes and whatever.
That's true. With the instruments, it's different.
Yeah.
You know? But they are stars in their own way, and you want to see them. You know, they're part of the band and stuff. So just like, you know, with the Rolling Stones, I mean, you know, Mick Jagger is a star, but all of them are pretty known.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
So, we're going to have in a few minutes a guest who has won the lottery more than once. And I'd like to find out how.
Me too.
How I can make some money.
I can't even make money off scratch cards.
Yeah.
It's like just the worst. Like,
you play those sometimes?
Yeah. And when I was little, my mom would always buy like 10 for each of us for Christmas. And we would open, like, scratch them all off Christmas morning. And no one ever won anything.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that was a waste of however many pounds that is, because when you get 10 each, that's a lot.
That's a lot of
especially
money.
Especially if they're 2 pounds, 5 pounds each. Because then when you're putting when you're buying a 5 pound one, you expect that, oh, there's more chance of winning.
Right.
But no.
But no. It's just, if you understand how the statistics, how the equations work, you realize that even if you buy 100 instead of one, your chances are still very slim. It doesn't really increase it by that much. You know, you have to buy millions of tickets to increase your your chances, you know. One time I was thinking, what if you just go and buy, you know, you buy as many tickets as your chances are. Like, your chances are about 14 million to one, I think, when you do like five numbers.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking...
putting 14 million on.
Yeah, if you put 14 million into it, then...
Well, you need... But then if they say that the winning is like 56 million,
right,
but then there's tax, so you might even...
Not only that, but you have to sometimes split it with someone else. That's the big uncertainty, you know?
Yeah, so you might not even break even.
Right, exactly. If you had $14 million to spend on this, I don't think you'd actually
do it. Right, on scratch cards. That's so true.
I don't think you'd do it.
Yeah. My grandparents have put the lottery on every Saturday for I don't even know how long.
Really?
A long time, yeah.
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 And they still get excited if they win 50. 10 pounds or...
Yeah, you know, I mean...
If
you can't complain for not winning if you don't buy a ticket, you know.
Right.
There's a little joke that this man complains to God. He says, man, he says, I keep on playing this lottery. No, he says, no, let me do this again. This man comes to God. He says, life is not very easy for me. Just let me win the lottery just once.
Mm-hmm.
And God tells me, he goes, will you meet me halfway and buy a ticket? You know, you can't win without a ticket, so you got to buy them.
Right.
But I don't get into it. You know that they say that a lot of, the majority of people that buy tickets can't really afford them. You know, it's like poor people that are hoping to really make it and stuff.
Yeah.
To get a break, and they can least afford to buy it, you know, because they don't have a lot of money.
Right.
So that's crazy. But let's find out. I mean, this man, they call him a human calculator, I guess. And he's going to be on the History Channel. Mm-hmm. So he's in town for a couple of days, couldn't make it here. So he's going to be on the phone.
I'm looking forward to Maybe learning some tips on how to.
Yeah. I know. Maybe he knows something we don't. Right. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, any big plans for the weekend for you?
No.
Nothing.
Florida State's playing this weekend. It's a big game against Notre Dame.
Right.
They're ranked number 5. So I think Florida State is now down to number 2. So number 2, 5, 1, 5. For those two teams to be playing each other in regular season is a huge game. So
right.
I'm looking forward to that.
But yeah.
A football game. That's what I'm looking forward
to
this weekend.
Yeah, a football game, you know. What are you going to do?
So that shows my plans for the weekend aren't that exciting.
Yeah. Well, mine might get a little exciting because one of our radio shows, they're going to have a marriage on the air, a gay marriage on the air.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that should be pretty cool. And
I told
them, I said, you guys should do it in the video studio. So maybe we'll do that. That should be fun. And you know who's going to officiate over it is, I don't know, do you know Gloria Allred? Have you heard of her? She's like she's this famous attorney.
Uh-huh.
And she always defends, like, women and things like that, you know.
Oh, cool.
Usually. And so she's always on TV and stuff in the news and that.
Yeah.
So I guess the host knows her, so she's going to officiate the wedding.
Awesome. When is that today?
No, Sunday. Sunday at 4, yeah. So if you guys get a chance, you should check it out. And even if you miss it, obviously, you go into the archives and it's always there.
Yeah.
So that should be a little bit of excitement, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
To do a radio show with the wedding. I mean, my God, you know. People just push it too far sometimes, but
it's fun. It reminds me of the award show. I don't know which award show it was, but Macklemore, however you say his name, sung his song about one love. And it's about equality, gender equality, and race, everything.
Yeah.
And during the live performance, I want to say the VMAs, but I don't know if it was. A bunch of people got married, and I would say there's probably 50 to 100 people that were getting married during the song, and
really?
They like took a little bit out to took a bit of time in between to do,
yeah.
But they made it into the song. It was just cool, and it was.
I think I remember that. Yeah. I don't know who it was aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're
it
right.
It was, and it was awesome. It was just really cool.
Yeah.
And it just brings a lot of love and makes people like, wow, that's.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is this, it doesn't matter what you do, what your lifestyle is, you still deserve rights, human rights, you know.
Right.
Equal rights, like everybody else here. And, you know, they constantly try to strike these decisions down and ban it and stuff. But it's like, why? Why are people so mean and hateful, you know?
Yeah.
Just let people live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why does everybody have to live like you? We can see what happens when people try to impose their way of life. We get ISIS and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Extreme Islamists. But in this country, you know, just let people live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, live and let live. That's the motto here.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so that bothers me. You know, it really does. And many states go back and forth all the time. You
right.
know? But it's hateful people, you know. I mean, it's like if you look, to me it looks weird too when I see two guys like kissing or something or hugging or whatever. And I can't imagine, you know, I'd probably be totally like floored by gay porn and stuff. I never actually saw any. But I can imagine that it's like unusual, you know. I mean, you feel like it's different from you. But it might even look weird to you. But the question is, who are you to decide anyway?
Definitely. It's all love and it's all the same feelings and everyone's entitled to their own.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's
not own happiness.
And it's not just about same sex. I mean, it's not just about the sex. You know, I mean, many, many gay couples live together for 15, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's deep relationships there. And they shouldn't have to live with feeling like they're pariahs or something, you know,
right.
like they don't belong in society. And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, you know, that sucks. It's funny because my son lives in San Francisco. He says, you see gay people all the time. It's not like it's even like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and these are the places where they actually get to live in peace.
Right.
For the most
Completely,
part.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have people because so many of them are the same, are alike, that they don't see each other as weird or, things like that, you know. So that's sad.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening in the news. Still the Ebola scare things going on. Yeah. Now, Obama appointed someone to oversee everything. So I would...
I watched on the news last night. There was a lady who was the first gentleman that died.
Right.
Was it Texas? I don't know.
Yeah.
But she worked with... She was one of the nurses that worked with him, and obviously two of them are now sick and being tested. One has Ebola. I don't know the exact details, but she sat down with an interview. They sat down with her because she has no symptoms. But even I was like, wow, that's kind of risky.
Yeah.
sat down and they were just interviewing her, asking if she'd had any training for Ebola, like to deal with it. And she said no. Before the first person came in, they had no training.
Wow.
They didn't know how to deal with it. And then they showed her a picture of one of the nurses that was dealing with an Ebola patient, and she was fully, she had the mask on, the jumpsuit, but her neck was showing. And I mean, the girl started crying because she just said, how, I mean, it's inches from your mouth, her neck showing, and they go to all these measures to make sure that you have these big jumpsuits on and you're fully covered, but your neck's showing.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's no point wearing it.
Yeah.
Because you have part of your body showing that's so close to your mouth. I mean, if it's airborne, then she's going to have it.
Right. Well, maybe it was only her suit. I can't imagine the design that way.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what it looks like to me is it looks like the separate pieces.
Right.
It looks like the headpiece and then the neck. And then there was just something that wasn't...
Yeah, I can't imagine.
No material.
I can't imagine that by design it would be like that. You know, maybe she didn't fasten it up correctly or something. Yeah.
But you'd think that obviously she wasn't... Because that would be something that you would be really conscious about and really careful about. So you'd think that that would be in the training that they had to make sure every part of their body is covered or be checked by somebody else before they went in.
Right.
So there's something's happened. There's a big gap in communication or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole way they handle this, and the hospital comes out and apologizes.
Yeah.
But what good is that, you know? Hospitals can't screw up, man.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with something like this, you know, I mean, the ones it breaks out, forget about it.
Right.
You know, how do you contain something like that?
And in the airplanes that they're transporting the people that have Ebola, it's like a zip. It's like a big, have you seen the photos?
No.
Like a big, it's...
No.
They
put them like inside a bubble, a plastic bubble.
Yeah, like a plastic, a see-through like bubble kind of thing.
Right.
And once the patient is taken out of there, the whole airplane, including the like plastic bubble, is steamed with hydrogen peroxide for hours on end.
Wow.
And the zips, it's special zips that they use that nothing can come in and out of the zip.
Uh-huh.
And then once it's been soaked in the hydrogen peroxide for, it was a long time, then it's taken to a waste ground.
Right.
And deposited
off.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's an intense process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's very scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, apparently they feel it's that serious that they...
Right.
They appointed someone to oversee this. And... yeah. Now, just imagine all the places where people go, like it says cruise ships and things like that, you know. But apparently, especially hospitals, you know, I mean, that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's our guest calling in, so let's go ahead and take this. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Richard Lustig with the Winning Lottery Method out of Florida.
Yes, and
I'm
Richard.
Call in to do an interview this morning with Sam Hassan.
Sam Hassan and Charlotte, and we're both right here. How are you, Richard?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good, good. Richard Lustig, right? Is the name? So you're in town for a couple days. Where is it that you're visiting us from?
Orlando, Florida.
Oh, wow. We were talking about Orlando yesterday, about Disneyland and Disney World and everything. have you lived there all your life? In Orlando?
No. I've lived there most of my life. I was born in New York, but I went to Florida when I was very young, and then I've lived a couple other places, but for a very short time. So I've lived most of my life in Florida.
I see. Okay. Well, sounds pretty good. Not a bad place to live.
No. Nope.
So now, so you've won the lottery, which obviously is a big honor because not many people do. But you won it more than once.
Well, I haven't. There's one thing we have to make sure that I always make very clear. Okay. I have not won the lottery. Okay. I've won seven lottery game grand prizes, which no one has ever done. So I've won seven different lottery game grand prizes.
Oh, wow. So
what is the lottery game grand prize?
Various games. In other words, like, for instance, in California, you have Powerball and you have Mega Millions, right?
Right.
Okay. And then you have, like, your state lottery game. And then you'll have two or three other types of games that are ball games like that with lesser jackpots, but there's lesser numbers to pick from, so the odds are better. And then you have scratch tickets, and then you have second chance drawings. So my seven lottery game grand prize wins consists of various games. Like, one of them was a scratch ticket, two of them were second chance drawings, and four of them were ball games.
Wow. So, I mean, are you rich because of this?
Well, the term rich is, means a lot of different things to different people.
Well,
you know?
Do you have a lot of money?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, good. So that's what's important. I mean, if you win and you don't get anything, then, you know, it's not a big deal. So now, I mean, so it begs the question, you know, I mean, there can't possibly be a strategy for this, can there?
Yes, there can, and that's exactly what this is all about.
Okay.
Not only am I the only person in the world that has won seven lottery game grand prizes, but I'm also the only person in the world that has actually created a method that works. And I wrote a book about my method. It's called Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery.
Uh-huh.
And it sells like crazy worldwide, and, you know, people can go to my website, which is winninglotterymethod.com, and they can see clips of various television shows I've been on, like Good Morning America, I don't know, six or eight times, and Fox and Friends, and Rachel Ray, and MSNBC. Mm-hmm. And then they can go to a page on my website, which is testimonials. These are real testimonials from real people who have bought my book, followed my method, and have won more money than they'd ever won before. And we're not talking about not just people who have won, you know, $500 or $1,000 or whatever. I have people who have bought my book and followed my method and won millions of dollars.
Wow. Wow.
Does your method include, what are the odds? How many, say, scratch cards, how many do you have to purchase to enable you to most likely win?
Okay. Most people, when they go to the counter and there's the display of all the scratch tickets, you know, and they'll stand there and say, well, let me see here. Let me have a couple of those. And, oh, you got bingo. I like bingo. Let me have three of those. And, you know, I like the colors on that ticket right there. And so give me a couple of those. And that's what most people do. And it's the worst thing you can do. You might as well put on a blindfold, take a loaded gun, and try to hit the target. It's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
So here's one of my, and my book contains many different things that all together increases your chances of winning. Each individual thing will also increase your chances of winning, but not as much as applying everything. So when it comes to the scratch tickets, one of the things I preach so much is budget. You know, people need to set a budget. Don't get caught up in what's called lottery fever and spend grocery money or rent money or whatever. Set a budget of what you can afford to spend. So for this example, since you asked about scratch tickets, let's say your budget's $100. Now, this works whether you got a $10 budget or a $10,000 budget. It doesn't matter. What you want to do now is you take that figure, in this case $100, you divide it by 10, and scratch tickets come in all denominations, $1, $5, $10, $15, $20, whatever, and you buy 10, so if it's $100, you're going to buy 10 $10 tickets. But here's the method. Don't buy three of this and two of that and one of those or whatever. Buy all 10 tickets in a row from the same game. Now, you can buy 15 tickets or 20 tickets or whatever you want, but make sure they're all in a row from the same game. And don't go in there and just buy three or five or eight. It's got to be at least 10. And if you do that, If you do that, almost every single time, you'll find at least one winning ticket in there. Most of the times, two, and sometimes even three or four winning tickets in that stretch of 10. You've just increased your chances of winning.
That's true, absolutely.
Do you think that a $10 ticket has more chance of winning than a $1 or a $2 ticket?
That's difficult to tell. The $10 ticket is obviously going to have a greater grand prize, so it's more attractive. Right. Just like the $20 tickets are more attractive. And so, in fact, I heard a rumor that they're coming out with a $50 ticket. Like, oh my gosh,
wow.
It's crazy. Wow.
But you know, the thing is, if you can only afford $10, then buy 10 $1 tickets. But if you look at the game, the grand prizes on $1 tickets are usually between $3,000 and $5,000, you know,
cool,
where,
yeah,
like you said, a $10 ticket, for instance, usually the grand prizes are $100,000, $250,000, you know, something like that.
Okay,
$100,000,
cool.
Or
$250,000,
you know.
Great. So you say it's not every lottery that you win is like $50 million. I mean, obviously, if you can win $50,000, $100,000, that's not a bad payday at all.
This is exactly what I'm saying. I'm glad you said it that way, because that's exactly what I tell people. I say, look, play with smarts. Don't play with greed, okay? I'm encouraging people to play. Yes, play, because if you play, then, you know, it's like the old saying, you got to be in it to win it, you know.
Right.
But I tell people, play with smarts, don't play with greed. Yes, you would love to win $40 million. That's obvious to anybody. But the odds of winning Powerball, which is a $40 million minimum jackpot, are 1 in 175 million. I mean, that's like insane.
Yeah.
But if you didn't win $40 million, but if you only won $100,000 tonight, would that not dramatically change your life? And the answer from them is always, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, then. So play a game that's got a $100,000 jackpot, and if you look up the odds, you'll find out there may be 1 in 1 million or 1 in 850,000 or something like that, a much better chance of winning than playing Powerball with a chance of 1 in 175 million.
That's true, yeah. Might as well win
something.
But
play with smarts, yeah. Not with greed.
Right, absolutely.
Makes sense.
Now, so you're in town visiting to film a segment called The Human Calculator for the History Channel.
That is correct.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was yesterday, and apparently I never had heard of this gentleman, but he blew my mind yesterday when we were doing the show. He's a guy that apparently he got the name Human Calculator when he was on the show with Regis Philbin, and he kind of said, you know, you're kind of like a human calculator, and then it stuck, and that became his title. But I mean, like, he apparently has many, many times gone up against a computer to do a math problem, and he has beaten the computer almost every time. Like yesterday, we were standing outside waiting to do the next shoot, and he said, give me any two-digit number. And I said, okay, 87. He said, now punch it into your phone. And he said, now hit the add sign and make it double that. And then from then on, I want you to hit the equal sign. And each time you hit the equal sign, it's going to double. And I'm going to say to you what the figures are, and I'll be faster at telling you what the figure is before you even get to punch in the calculator. And so we did it, and we got the second, third number, but by the time we got to the fourth number, he was already up to like the eighth or ninth number. We couldn't even keep up with him. But all of his numbers were correct. It was like totally mind-blowing. So yeah, he's called the Human Calculator. And they were doing an episode about the lottery, and of course the networks called me the lottery expert, so they called me up and said, we want you on the show.
Very cool. Very cool. So you were like what, like a consultant or something for the show?
Yeah, the networks, just like I can't think of anything other. It's kind of a morbid subject, but let's just say like there's a plane crash,
right.
and so there's a guy who has written books about planes and piloting or whatever, and he kind of becomes like the network's expert. So anytime there's a plane crash, they'll call him up and have him on a show and say, why do you think this happened, or what could have happened to the black box or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what I am. I'm ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC. They've all got me labeled as the lottery expert. So anytime there's any kind of a major story about the lottery, whether it's about a huge jackpot that's up for grabs in the next drawing, or a group of guys that were discovered and had a scheme and they were trying to rip off the lottery, whatever it may be, and boom, I get calls from the networks, and sometimes they have me go to a local station and we do an interview via satellite. Sometimes they fly me up to New York and I'm on the show live the next day.
Very wow. cool. Very cool stuff. So how did you get into this? I mean, were you like always a lottery fan and you just decided
yeah,
to
well,
get into
when
it?
The lottery came to Florida like about 27, 28 years ago, whatever it was. And so, you know, I was like everybody else. Wow, you know, buy lottery tickets, win a lot of money, you know, be rich. And so like everybody else, I was running out there and buying tickets. And also like everybody else, I didn't have any kind of a plan or a method. I was just haphazardly buying tickets here and there and whatever. And after doing that for a little while, and like everybody else, I was losing almost all the time. And so I said to myself, wait a minute, you know, there's got to be something you can do to yeah. give yourself a better chance. So I wrote down some ideas, and of course some of my ideas didn't work, so I threw those out the window, but right. some of my ideas did work. So I kept coming up with more ideas, throwing out the bad ones, keeping the good ones, using the good ones all together, and the next thing I knew, I was starting to win more than I was losing. Now, I hadn't won any big grand prizes yet, but I was seeing a dramatic result, you know,
yeah.
and the next thing you know, I won my first grand prize, and I got to be honest, at that time, I felt like everybody else did. Wow, I'm a really lucky guy. I won a grand prize. But then I won my second and then my third. And when I won my fourth, the light came onto my head and said, okay, wait a minute, Richard, you're not lucky. I don't even know anybody that's won even once. You've won four grand prizes. You've got a method. This is working.
Yeah.
And most people didn't believe me. You know, they said, you're just lucky. I said, how can you say somebody who's won four lottery game grand prizes is lucky, you know?
Yeah, that's
it was when
true.
I, it was when I won my fifth grand prize, that's when people all of a sudden started to say, okay, wait a minute here. Nobody can be that lucky. What's your secret? That was the question I always kept getting, you know?
Right.
And obviously, I mean, this has changed your life dramatically. But how exactly has, well, when I say dramatically, because now you're going and doing interviews and appearances, but how has it changed your home life?
Well, as far as my home life is concerned, I mean, it hasn't changed our home life in, as individuals, as persons, but as far as possessions and things, you know, we've our lifestyle has increased dramatically over the years, you know, living in big 4,000 square foot homes, and I drive a Jag, and I have a Harley, and I bought my son his first car, and it was a Beamer, and, you know, we went on cruises a lot, you know, so we've done, yeah, it's changed our lives tremendously,
right.
And we've taken money, we've helped out our family members, you know, and so it's really worked out real well.
That's very cool. Now, when you put it all together, is this all the amounts together, is that something that would be enough for you to stop working for the rest of your life?
Sure, it could be. Yeah,
wow.
It could be. Yeah,
so you've won quite
I have,
a bit.
Like for instance, one of our, I've had people who have, and again on my website, winninglotterymethod.com, they go to that testimonial page. They'll see that I have a couple in Tampa, Florida that followed my method, won $2 million. I have a couple in Iowa where the wife saw me on one of the TV shows I was doing, you know, and she goes running into the other room where her husband was sitting there watching TV, and she goes, honey, I just saw this guy on TV, and he's won the lottery a bunch of times, and he's written a book, and it tells you how to win, and the husband, like most husbands, said, yeah, whatever, don't bother me, I'm watching my game, you know. So she went out and bought my book anyway, mm-hmm. and so they bought my book, they followed my method, and within a few months, they hit a $9 million grand prize.
Wow. We're talking to Richard Lustig. The book is Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery. Your website is winninglotterymethod.com. And so you're visiting here. Now, I wanted to ask you, In your book, do you address all the different kinds of lotteries and stuff? I mean, the big ones and the smaller ones?
Yeah, well, I don't address individual lotteries because that doesn't even matter.
Right.
My method, whether it's about ball games like Powerball and Mega Millions and whatever, or scratch tickets, my method, in my book, I teach you about all those kinds of games, not any specific game, because it applies to all games. My method works with any type lottery game in any state in the United States. In fact, with any lottery game in the world, because I have people from all over the world that buy my book too. Right. But yeah, I'd show people, here's what you can do to increase your chances of winning in ball games. Here's what you can do to increase your chance to win in scratch ticket games. And I tell people, you know, there's other people out there that sell lottery systems, okay? But they say in their advertising and their promotion, guaranteed you'll win a grand prize and blah, blah, blah. That is so much hogwash.
Right.
Not even I can tell someone, I guarantee you're going to win a grand prize.
Right.
You know, if I said that, I'd be lying.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If people believe me, they'd be foolish. What I do tell people is, I can teach you, if you read my book, I can teach you how to increase your chances of winning. And fortunately for many people who have bought my book, that learning to increase their chances has enabled them to win a grand prize or more.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, have you seen people, I mean, they say usually that, you know, people that win the lottery, like big money and stuff, often are ending up with no money at all. Is that something that you address also?
That's a sad situation, and that's called the lottery curse. And yeah, and it usually happens to people who have never had that kind of money in their life. Okay, mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden they win this huge jackpot, and they got all this money, so they go crazy with it. They start throwing big fancy parties and buying fancy cars and doing all this stuff and spending money like it's water.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, a year or 2 years later, they're broke. And
yeah.
It's like, what happened, you know? So I tell people, you know, if you are one of the fortunate people to win a grand prize, the first thing you do is hire a lawyer and an accountant and a financial advisor, or maybe all three or whatever, you know, and make sure that
right.
you check these people out that you are going to hire, that they have good credentials and they have a track record, you know. And then they're going to help you to teach you what to do with that money, to spend it, how to spend it, and do it wisely. But even if you don't have those three people to help you, I say the first thing you do before you do anything is pay off your bills.
Mm.
Pay off your house, get your house free and clear. Pay off your car payments, pay off your credit cards. And then once you've done that, you're debt-free. That's the first thing you do.
Mm.
Then the second thing you do is, and of course this all depends on how much you win, you know.
Right.
The second thing you do is you put money away for the future, in some sort of investment programs or whatever. Because I don't care how much you win, some of it is never going to last forever. So put some of it away for the future. Let it just sit there. You didn't have it before. Let it sit there, and it's earning you money, and you got retirement money sitting there. Once you've done those two things, then you go out and buy the talking car.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, then you have more freedom with security.
Right. And the advice you give...
Absolutely, because you're debt-free and you got investments.
Right.
And that's the thing. I think pretty much you summarized how people should invest and so forth, is to get someone to help them out and know how to manage the money and everything. Pay down your debt. Pay it off completely. I think there's no better feeling than to be debt-free, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the first time we had won enough money that we were able to do that, it was like this huge weight off my shoulders.
I can imagine.
We didn't owe any money to anybody, and was like, wow, man, we don't have credit card payments to make anymore. We don't, you know, I mean, it's a great feeling. But
yeah.
That's why I say I'm trying to teach people how to play smart instead of playing with greed. Let me give you an example about that. A lot of people go after Powerball, you know, and Mega Millions. And, yeah, they'd all love to win $40 million or whatever the prize is. But I say to them, if tonight you won only $100,000, not $40 million, only $100,000, would that not change your life? And they go, oh, yeah, oh, my goodness, yeah, that'd be great. I said, well, there you go. You're answering your own question. Don't play the bigger games unless you can afford to play enough, and then again goes to the budget thing. If you have a small budget, and there's nothing to be ashamed of if you do, because the economy's in the toilet and everybody's hurting, you know. So if you have a small budget, then play smart. Play the games with the smaller grand prizes. The odds are more in your favor, and if you win $100,000, it'll change your life.
Yeah.
So do that first, and then once you are playing regularly and you're winning regularly, another thing about my method that I teach you is now you can use lottery money to buy more tickets, to increase your chances of winning.
Right.
You see how it works?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a lot like gambling and stuff, you know. And
well, it is gambling.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like gambling. It is right. gambling.
It is, but the amount you put up front is not as significant as you do in the casino, I think, in some games. And
I mean, that depends, too. Right. You know, you've got people that go into a casino and they'll just sit there and pop a quarter in at a time at a slot machine.
Yeah.
And then you got people that will go to the blackjack table or the craps, you know, game, and they're putting down $50, $100, $200 bets or whatever. Right. So again, that's up to personal, individual, financial situations that they're in that will determine what their budget is.
That's true, yeah. Okay, so you're in town for the human calculator. You did that yesterday, right? They shot that yesterday.
Yep.
And do you have any information as to when and how we can watch this?
No, I don't know at the moment when that'll air. They'll let me know. Usually it takes a month or two because they've got to, you know, edit it all together and put it together. But
right.
they let me know. But if you go, again, to my website, winninglotterymethod.com, I also have a page on there that's a calendar page. And on that calendar page, I keep it as current as I can. It shows upcoming interviews I'm going to do. Like, I just got your interview late last night, but I was doing it today. If I had this 3 or 4 days ago, I would have had you on there, so I apologize. I didn't get a chance to put you on the website. But upcoming shows that I'm going to be taping are on there. I also go out across the country, and I do speaking engagements, and people pay me to come out and talk about my method, you know.
Right.
And so I've got a list of speaking engagements coming up. So my calendar, people that go to my website and regularly check the calendar, they can see where and when I'm doing what, whether it's an interview or a speaking engagement or whatever.
Right. Well, Richard, sounds fascinating. You know, I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out, get your book, and see what's going on there, because God knows, everybody could use a little extra money, you know. And if you figured it out,
absolutely.
Cool. Well, again, the book is "Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery." The website is winninglotterymethod.com, and the star this morning is Richard Lustig. Richard, thank you so much for calling in and enlightening us with all this. And
absolutely, it was a blast, guys. And you know what? Let's do it again when I win number 8.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be here.
All right, Richard. All right, you guys have a good day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, I'm going to go buy 10 scratch-off tickets to start with after the show.
I know. That makes you want to go and buy the tickets, right?
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And I think some people could use a lot of it, you know.
And I read some of the testimonies, and one guy bought a whole pack of scratch offs, and in the second pack he won $250,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I guess if you buy the whole, it makes so much sense. It makes way more sense of buying the whole thing, because
right.
I mean, if you buy, I don't even know how many would be in the whole roll, but say there's 100. I mean, right. there's gonna be a couple of winning tickets in there.
That's true.
There's just going to be.
Right.
They're not going to make a whole roll of none.
Right. You never know, though. But
true.
But he did say get them like in a row, you know,
yeah,
so maybe they spread them out.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm probably going to go buy 10 tickets after this.
Yeah, before that, get the entire book, you know. I mean, my right. God, might as well do it the right way.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
But I'm going to check it out. Why not? You
yeah.
know, I've always been skeptical of lotteries, but when people win, you realize it's a real thing, you know.
And I think it's all about putting, from what I can gather from the testimonies, and obviously the book will go more into detail, but it's all about putting the same numbers on every time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to change them anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, any number is good as any, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Before you know you're going to win. Yeah. Okay, well, moving on. You know, talking about money or people that need money. Remember yesterday our guest, we were talking about the homeless and poor people and stuff. They just released a report that says that over 48 million Americans live in poverty. Now, obviously, not all of those are homeless, but they figure the poverty line is $23,000 for a family of four. Can you imagine living with a family of four? I mean, this is like $2,000 a month for four people.
Yeah.
That's poor.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, rent can take up 3/4 of that for a family of, well, more.
Right.
That could be just rent for, wow, that's.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough to live like that.
Yeah.
And there are 48 million, and I'll bet you many of them are women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who are, you know, victims of divorce or domestic violence or whatever, and left the house.
Yeah.
So it's a very sad story, and especially in a country like this. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, what is it? 50 million is what, like 1/6, 1/7 of what we have?
And that's, and you don't think about that. You don't think that we would have that much poverty in such a
yeah.
booming country. And like, exactly. yes, the economy is not great, but America is known as a booming country. And
right.
I mean, and the economy here is nothing compared with the economy in England. I mean, it's in England, you don't get, or the UK, you don't get people going out for dinner on a Monday or a Tuesday right. night because people don't have the money.
Right.
Whereas in America, I mean, I went and grabbed a drink with my friend last night and the place was packed,
yeah.
absolutely packed. And she didn't get off work till 7:30, so we didn't meet till 8. And this place was just so busy.
Yeah.
I was just in shock that the place was so crazily
yeah.
busy
yeah.
on a Thursday night. I was like, wow. Yeah.
So people do have just money.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
They do have money here. That's for sure, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also because, you know, this country, it's like, by definition, it's a country where the individual has the ability to promote themselves and achieve whatever they want.
Right.
And so they leave it up to the individual, and that's what happens. You know, we don't have any social programs for these people and mm-hmm. stuff. And they're just left on their own, you know. But many are mentally ill or physically handicapped, whatever, you know, that keeps yeah. them from working. And it's just heartbreaking to see all that, you know,
right.
especially in a country like this where we pride ourselves in our wealth and progressive, being progressive and stuff, you know, and human rights and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't take care of our people. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's sad.
It is. It's really sad.
Let's see. Oh, this is big news. Joe Biden, who's the Vice President of the United States,
mm-hmm.
his son was discharged from the Navy after testing positive for cocaine.
Wow.
This is the son of the Vice President, a 44-year-old lawyer and managing partner at an investment firm. He confirmed in the report that he did do cocaine.
Wow. He's a 44-year-old lawyer?
Did yeah. you say? Yeah, and managing partner at an investment firm. I mean, you'd think,
but he's in
this guy's got his life together.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I think cocaine and drugs are just a lot more prominent in society.
Yeah.
Than
yeah, and cocaine
realize.
Is prominent yeah. with rich people because
yeah.
it's an expensive drug, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like, I'm just surprised because I remember in the 80s, it was like the hottest thing around to do coke. But my question is, It's still like that. I mean, I'm hearing that people are still using a lot of coke.
Yeah,
you know, and that's I mean that's a dangerous drug. It really is, and
oh,
people
yeah.
don't realize. But it's all chemicals and shit. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like speed. They cut it with different things. You know, different powders and speed and things like that. So you never know what's in it, anyway.
Oh, completely. And I mean, it all.
Yeah.
It scares me so much.
Yeah, I know.
It's
I mean, I tried it. I never bought any. I tried some in the 80s when I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had an affinity for it. It,
right.
it always kept me like high strung and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'd need like to smoke a joint to come down from it. So like I decided this is not for me, you know.
Yeah.
But to be in the military, I mean, he's unreserved, but
right.
still. You know, he tested for that, and it just shows you that these things, they hit every family. It doesn't matter where, who, you know, what, where you come from or anything. I mean, it hits everybody, and this has got to be pretty embarrassing to Joe Biden. Although
oh, yeah.
you know, I mean, this is like an adult child. It's not like he's responsible for his
right. It's
for
not
his
like
son's
he's
actions.
20-year-old anymore. He's
right.
44. You'd think that he
yeah.
So, there's not really much that he can do.
Yeah, exactly, to embarrass his father, but he did.
Right.
You know, and they're saying that his father was not contacted, so that's a good thing because he has nothing to do with it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so things that people do, man.
Mm-hmm.
Things that make you go,
Yes.
Do you remember that song?
Things that make you go, I like that sound.
Yeah, it's a song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a song that they used to have. And I love it. It sounds so great, huh?
That's really funny.
Let's see if I can find it here. That'd be funny, huh? Yeah, we have to prepare things like this before we come in. But, yeah, let's see. Things that make you go there. You see, I love YouTube because it's already got everything.
You type it in and it's right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's right there. You know, I love that. Yeah, it was CNC Music Factory. I remember that. And it's a funny song. Yeah, you got to listen to it. I'll play part of it. It's like a catchy song, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. I wonder when it's from. Oh, 1990. So that's when you were born. Yeah.
Things that make you go,
Come on, let's get going. It's a dance song, so it's got like a big intro to it.
I like it.
I was in the crib, sitting by the fireplace, drinking cocoa on the bearskin rug. Doorbell rang, who could it be? Thought to myself, then started to shrug. Got to the door, ding dong, who is it? My girlfriend had paid me a visit. Fly as can be, tight dress and all. She knew that I was faithful and really didn't have the goal. I tried to chill, she made the move, now I know my girlfriend was.
Gotta wait for the chorus.
I didn't realize my girl was setting me up. Yo, my girlfriend didn't trust me, no. Yup, but she lost control, I wouldn't take the bait. I said, chill, baby, baby, chill, baby, baby, wait. My girl busting, caught us creating the boom. She said, girlfriend, things to make.
There you
things
go.
That make you go
things that make you go yeah. Things that make you
yeah, services that I like using.
That's funny. The verse reminded me of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah?
I don't know why, but yeah.
Okay. You mean the song from the show?
Yeah, no, just the... The tune and the way, yeah.
Really?
Maybe it's just because it was a 90s song, and I think Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was
in the 90s. That's true, yeah.
That's funny. Catchy.
Yeah, things that make you go, And finally, I guess this guy in Florida, this was back a couple of years ago, where he shot and killed a 17-year-old that was playing loud music.
Yeah, music too loud.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was at a gas station, mind you. It's not like it was his neighbor or something, you know?
Right.
So he's at a gas station, probably saw a few teenagers blasting their music, and decided to start a fight with them. Ended up shooting the guy, and he's going to prison without parole.
Yeah,
for life.
And he, I mean, the photo that they have right here, I mean, he looks like he's crying. But, really? I mean, you've got to know that you did something terribly wrong. Like, you're going to get punished.
Yeah, if you can't keep yourself in control at times like this, then you don't belong free in society, you know?
Right.
You're like a time bomb.
Yeah.
And people do that. Again, you know, people trying to impose their ways on other people. It's like... you know, you're not doing it my way, therefore I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and the judge had said, Mr. Dunn, your life is effectively over. What's sad is that this case exemplifies that our society seems to have lost its way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, we can't, you know, we can't generalize this on everybody, but it does seem to happen quite a bit where, you know, and yeah, I mean, all the people that want everybody to carry guns, there you go.
Right.
You know? Without a gun, this would not have happened. I'm sure he could have killed them in a different way, but guns just make it so easy.
Yeah.
You know?
And I guess he'd said that to the kids' parents, he apologized or whatever, then he said, I'm mortified that I took a life, whether it was justified or not.
Right.
So does he think it was justified?
I don't think so.
I don't know. By saying that, whether it was justified or not,
He does say that he's sorry and he would have done it differently if he could roll back time. So I don't know, trying to show some remorse, but it's of little late. Use. Yeah,
right.
Little
exactly. Use.
All right, folks. Well, this is it for today. We thank Richard Lustig for calling in with the lottery tips. I'm going to run and buy a few tickets now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, first I'm going to read the book.
I'm going to go buy 10 tickets.
Yeah. Go on the website or something. Maybe Monday you'll come back rich.
Maybe
you
I will.
You never know. You'll go, Sam, take the show and shove it. I'm not coming back here anymore. It does change your life. All right. Well, have a great weekend, Charlotte.
You too.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you on Monday.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.